The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We're coming into a world with new challenges and more new triggers for anxiety than at any other time. With social media and smartphones providing more triggers than before, how can we prepare our kids to navigate a world that has so much anxiety contained therein? Well, help is at hand because I'm joined by Dr. Mary O'Kane, who's the author of a new book called Anxious Children in an Anxious World, subtitled Facing Fears and Finding Brave. Mary, good morning.
Thank you so much for having me, Pat.
Now, I've been going through the book, and first of all, I should mention it's not available in normal bookshops. You have to buy it through buythebook.ie.
Yes, they're a wonderful group that support independent authors. So, yes, that's where people can buy it online.
And you can still make your way to the bestsellers via this mechanism.
We're kind of hoping that just maybe, you never know.
Okay, what prompted you to write the book?
Oh, Pat, levels of anxiety in children are just going through the roof. So I lecture in psychology and I lecture in early ed, but everything I lecture in is about well-being. And we know now that so many children are struggling. Professor Mary Cannon did a really important piece of research pre-COVID, and she found by the age of 13, Pat, one in three of our children have struggled with a mental health difficulty, and anxiety was top of the list. So, Pat, I'm a mum of three, and her statistic is embedded in my brain because I am living her research. One of mine struggles with anxiety. So not only am I experiencing it in my own household, but the number of parents who are getting in touch with me feeling completely disempowered. And I wanted to do something that hopefully will help.
Now, this book is a very hands-on book. You can actually go to the particular sections that might apply to you.
Yeah.
But one of the common themes is that every child should have at least, but one will do, one good adult. And NES in Scotland worked with children and teens to develop a job description for the one good adult. And the criteria for the role: a kind, approachable and respectful manner, being open-minded, fair and trustworthy, accepting children for who they are, actively listening to children, taking worries and concerns seriously, helping find solutions to problems, challenging children to push their boundaries, and just being there.
That, Pat, and it's that last line, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know, it's funny. Previously, I wrote another book called Perfectly Imperfect Parenting. And my argument in that one is society places pressure on us to feel that we are perfect. And then we place pressure on ourselves as parents to be perfect. That's not what we need to be, Pat. One good adult. You're good enough is good enough. Each child needs to know there's somebody in their life who absolutely believes in them. Now, we hope they have more than one. I have to just say that. But they really need one. And we don't have to be perfect. So say with anxiety, it's not that you have to have every answer. It's not that you have to have a magic wand and try and wave this anxiety away. No, it's that you're there in their corner doing all you can to help.
Now, you go through what children at any stage, and by the way, you also point out that some children just won't be anxious. They're chilled, and that's the way they're wired.
Yep.
And then other children might be a bit sensitive and be over-anxious. But at different stages, they've got different apprehensions and fears.
Yep.
So infants and toddlers.
Yep. Strangers, separation. Oh, they want to be with us.
Okay. Yep. And loud noises.
Yep.
Preschoolers.
Oh, again, separation, sleeping alone. Sometimes you want to be in our bed. Costume characters, you know, like the clown. And you think,
The clown is such a common one.
Oh,
For a cheery character.
Yep.
So many kids are afraid of the clown.
So many. I think, Pat, some of us as adults aren't particularly 100% sure if we see a clown heading our way.
Now, early school age, when kids are in the first class.
Yeah, it seems like getting lost, storms. Like, they're quite logical fears. There's stuff that they think, hold on, I'm not sure about this.
Storms, getting lost, some characters on TV
again,
that they might come across.
Yep.
Then when you get a little bit older, middle school age.
Friends, isn't it? And it's also expectations that might be on them, whether they're academic, you know, sporting expectations. It's those sorts of things. Like a lot, these are actually quite sensible fears for each time. And as they get older, it's again, it's peers, it's romantic partners. They're judging themselves very harshly, the teenagers.
And of course,
they
teenagers,
really
bodily changes
Absolutely.
And all of those things. And then, I mean, they're beginning to be conscious of the greater world. So some of them are concerned about the planet, what's happening to
eco-anxiety, huge. But you know something, Pat, when you think about it, Every one of us gets anxious at times. I mean, you think if you're doing your driving test, if you think back to your leaving cert, if you're thinking about giving a best man speech, every one of us experiences it. We have to normalise it in some ways.
You also point out that even the cool kids can have anxieties.
Exactly. I think children sitting in school, I mean, think about that 1 in 3 statistic. So your child is sitting in a classroom and they think it's only me. Nobody else is feeling this. And they look at other children and think, you don't understand.
Now, you will explain to kids where anxiety comes from, like what the science of anxiety is.
Yes, even to the little ones, Pat. We call it psychoeducation. And basically that means having an understanding of what's happening to you. So I outline in the book really simple ways to explain to even preschoolers what is happening in your brain. And funny, Pat, anxiety really disempowers them. But anxiety comes from a part of the brain that's like our body's little alarm system. It's trying to protect them. Even understanding that makes a difference to them. It makes it less scary. If I think there's this little part of my brain that is desperately trying to keep me safe, but just sometimes it overestimates the dangers in the world.
So the natural thing and the fight, flight, freeze and fawn.
Yes.
And now flight and fight, we understand.
We understand.
Okay.
Yes.
Freeze.
Freeze is that I'm just frozen with fear. So we talk about things like selective mutism. So children who go into school and their anxiety makes it them unable to communicate. Freeze can also be a child who literally can't get in the door to school. And then fawn is probably the one people are less familiar with. Fawn is more like people pleasing. So it's a child who's a perfectionist. If I get everything right, the world will be okay. If I make sure everything around me is as it should be, then it makes them feel more secure. But none of those responses, they're all helpful sometimes. But if they become overwhelming, we need to support that child.
You go through the different kinds of anxiety, separation anxiety, for instance.
That's a big one. I mean, and you know, we think about the babies, whatever, you know, wanting to be with mum or dad or whatever. But particularly, again, the transition to school can be a huge one for so many children in terms of separation anxiety. But I go through, I recommend books. I go through little, very simple little things. Like one, for example, Pat, is talking about just having a little love heart on their wrist, a little love heart on your wrist. And you tell them anytime you're missing me, you touch that. Wow. We're talking about a pebble in my pocket.
Yeah.
So you give them a little pebble or a gemstone. They keep it in their pocket and you keep it in your pocket when you're there. And you tell them we are connected.
You also talk about things like social anxiety. A lot of kids have that. But there are then specific phobias that some kids will have. For example, of injections?
Yeah, there's a lovely little piece by Niall Neeson. He's a dentist in Boyne Dental in Navan, and he really works with people who have phobias, children who have phobias of the dentist. And he gives a lovely little piece on how we might cope with that. But you know what, Pat? No matter what the child's anxiety is, no matter what their fears are, partly it comes back to us. Like, we need to be the port in the storm. And one of the things that I feel is important is, as an adult, as a parent, even as an educator, you see a child become anxious and what happens? We become anxious and we can feed their anxiety if we're not careful. It's so important that they see that this is the whole facing fears and finding brave. You know, if we want a child to find their inner brave, we have to find ours.
You give us solutions and things to try. For example, if a kid can't explain why school is making them anxious, you ask them a question. If you had a magic wand, what would you do? Would you have a new teacher? Would you move seats in the classroom? Would you change the bathrooms? Because that is often a problem for kids.
Yeah.
Would they have less homework? What would they change about their friendships? And that might give you a clue as to where the real problem
lies. That's exactly it. Do you know, sometimes, Pat, and parents will say this to me, my child can't tell me while they're anxious. They cannot tell me. So little tricks like this, and they seem like simple things, but they can just, you know, that magic wand idea lets a child actually think, hold on, what would I change? And it gives you a real insight into what's going on underneath.
Now, the question of not protecting your child from everything, but protecting your child from what it is necessary to protect them from.
Yes, Pat, as I said, as parents, we can become overprotective. with if our child is struggling in any way. You know, so many, I can hold my hand up here, Pat, and say I've been known to do this one myself. Pat, there was a really interesting piece of research from the University of Exeter looking at how children coped with COVID and with lockdown. And what they found was the children who coped best were children who had parents who, prior to COVID, encouraged their children to step outside their comfort zone, to like risky play. When I say risky play, parents go, oh no. But I mean, like, you know, they're riding their bike and you go, go on, you can go a bit faster. They're on the swing in the playground. You're going,
you can
go a bit higher. And what happens? The child feels anxiety. Heart is pounding. They're feeling a little bit, but they're doing it through play. And they realize, you know what? Sometimes life challenges me, but I can cope. I'm strong. I'm capable. But we need to find our inner brave to let them do it.
I mean, the quote from you is, instead of a focus on keeping our children as safe as possible, it may help if we reframe this as keeping them as safe as necessary. We cannot promise that they will never face challenging situations, but we can let them see our faith in their ability to cope.
Oh, that's exactly what I think we want for them. It really is. Pat, I must say, I say this as if it's easy peasy. Like, I am a parent of a child who struggles with anxiety, and I do understand it can be scary for us to push them, but now, we have to do it.
Finally, those triggers we talk about. Mobile phones, I mean, it's a different world.
Pat, it really is. I mean, we now know that social media has a huge impact on their well-being, particularly on girls, actually. Do you know what I always say to parents about technology? Educate yourself. That's the trick. For so many of us, our children are showing us how to, I mean, again, I can be guilty of that one. How do I do this pet on our phone or whatever? It's so important that before you put a phone in your child's hand, before you give them access to the internet, that you really educate yourself, because these are challenges we never faced as kids.
Well, the book is terrific. Anxious Children in an Anxious World, subtitled Facing Fears and Finding Brave. It's written by Dr. Mary O'Kane. And if you want to get it, you'll have to go through buythebook.ie to get your copy. And Mary, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you, Pat.
Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.